So today we are still going to carry on with our teaching on the anointing, and by the grace of God we will learn the topic today of growing in the anointing. Amen. Remember when we, just a recap of last week, we said that the anointing is the symbolic application of oil, and this was done either by pouring of oil or smearing on. And this had a responsibility of consecrating someone, to declare someone or something as holy. And when you are anointed, or when instruments were anointed, or when things were anointed, they now belonged to God. The ownership now became of God. They became a consecrated thing. It became holy to God, okay? And one of the things that God would do whenever someone was anointed, and we see in the Old Testament, is that the Holy Spirit came upon them. So the Holy Spirit will come upon them, and they will either prophesy, that means they will start prophesying, or they will, you know, start to speak in new tongues, as what happened in the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in new tongues. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit did when the anointing came, people were either anointed to be prophets, they were either anointed to be kings, others were anointed to be leaders, they got wisdom, they were able to lead, you know, to provide, to interpret dreams, visions. You can think of Daniel, they were able to have visions, understanding of dreams, and to understand hard sentences, you know. And so the anointing came with a responsibility. It came with an empowerment from heaven, through the Spirit of God, to do something special for the kingdom of God. Now, in the New Testament, all of us are given the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God gives you His Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and regenerates you. Anyone that is without faith in Christ is dead. That means that spiritually they have no life, they are dead. The Bible tells us that when God told Adam and Eve, the day that you shall eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. They died not physically, but they died spiritually. So physically, they started the process of death, because that is when death entered into the world, because of sin. But spiritually, they became dead spiritually. But then when you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and gives life to your spirit and makes you born again. That means you receive the life of God and you receive the anointing of God. Now that anointing is the work of the Spirit in you. Now I keep saying there are two types of the anointing. There is the anointing within you, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit that is going to teach you how to walk a holy life, will going to direct you. I mean, if you're doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit will direct you and tell you, okay, stop, do this. This is the time to call someone. And anyone that prays with God, anyone that reads the Word of God, you will start to realize that you hear the voice of God more clearly. And God will speak in very simple things. You can start to think of someone and then they call you. Now, that is the Holy Spirit already starting to communicate to you that this person is going to call you. Now, don't expect the Holy Spirit or God to come and shout in a loud voice and say, Mondol, or Paul, what are you doing? No, He speaks in a small, still voice. Small, still voice, just simple. Why don't you call your mother? You have not talked to your mother for a long time. And when you call, you find out that your mother was actually sick. Now, that is now how you start to hear the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's not far. He's inside you. Amen? The Bible tells us, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And then I say that then we have what is called the anointing that comes upon you. Amen? Now, when the anointing comes upon you, it becomes an overflow of what Christ has done in your life. Now, when the anointing comes upon you, it comes with a gift. Okay? Now, the gift comes in very many forms. The most important thing, remember when Jesus told His disciples, you shall receive power after
after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That means that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, after that you shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the anointing that comes upon you has a specific purpose, which is to empower you to do something for the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us must be doing something for the kingdom of God. Amen. There is something that God has given you that is special. It might be wisdom. You know, wisdom is direction. There are people who God has given the grace to just know what to do. You are in problems. You are in a meeting. It's chaotic. And then in 1 minute, the person tells you, okay, do this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Move forward. And when you go in that direction, you succeed. Why? Because God has given them the spirit of wisdom. There is also the spirit of knowledge, where you just know things supernaturally. You can be walking with someone and something within you tells you that this is not a good person. And later on in life, 5 years from now, the person reveals himself. But how did you know? You only knew by the Holy Spirit. So the anointing that comes upon is what we are going to speak about. And so when we say how to grow in the anointing, we have to think of two people where the Bible tells us that they grew in the spirit, or they grew in the anointing. Number one was John the Baptist. The Bible tells us when John the Baptist was born, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But when he came out, the Bible tells us, Luke 2 verse 40, and the child grew and was strong in spirit. That means he grew strong in spirit and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That means that as the child went to the wilderness and he started to learn about God, to hear the voice of God, he grew as a child, but he also grew strong in spirit. That means that the anointing that was upon John the Baptist came as a seed, but then it continued to grow. Now, this is the same thing that I'm trying to say, that when you give your life to Jesus, God gives you a bit of that anointing. That means he gives you his Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside you. But then, apart from him living inside you, he gives you an anointing that comes in a small measure. But then, as you start to walk with him, then you are going to start to see that the anointing is going to grow in your life. Amen? And the other person that also grew in the anointing is Jesus. Luke 2 verse 52 tells us, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That means when with the Spirit of God, he increased. He increased in his mind, mentally he developed. He increased in his body, he grew. He increased also in favor. Favor is what? Favor is the blessing with man and with God. Now, that means that when you have the anointing, God starts to call you his favorite. Someone that is favored is someone that is favorite. Amen? So if you are favored by people, that means people just like you. You just don't know why people like you, but it is because God has placed favor on your life. I tell you, we apply for jobs. 1,000 people apply for jobs. But what is it that makes your CV to stand out, that they just pick your CV? What is it that makes you that even you don't answer the questions correctly, but they say this one still has potential? Let me take this person. That is what we call favor. You did not work for it, but God just blesses your life, blesses your countenance, that when people see you, they favor you. Now, there is favor with man, and there is also favor with God. Now, when you become God's favorite, he gives you gifts. Amen? That means that you don't need to struggle so much. You can think of a child. If your child is your favorite, does that child need to ask for school fees? No. Does that child need to ask for a toy? No. When you walk in the market, you see a nice shirt, you're like, oh, this one I can get for my daughter, or I can get for my son. That is because there is favor over your life. That means there is a choosing. So when we speak of growing in the anointing, I must first establish foundational things. Foundation number one is that you must be born again. You cannot grow in the anointing if you are not a Christian. If you don't believe in Jesus, if you have not yet accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, there is no way you can speak about growing in the anointing. You have no anointing to grow in. You just have talent. You know, there are people who are talented. There are people who can sing, but they might not be anointed. Amen? So, the first foundation for you to be able to think about even growing in the anointing is that you are born again. John chapter 3 verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit." That means that when you are born as a human being, you are born of the flesh. Natural, that is natural birth. But then when you are born again, when you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you are born of the Spirit, and supernaturally your spirit also is made alive. So as a foundation, you must be born again. Then you can see the kingdom of God, you can enter the kingdom of God, and you will know if you are born again or you are not born again. How do you know you are born again? If you have peace in your heart that you are going to heaven. If you have peace in your heart that you are going to heaven, that is peace from the Holy Spirit. But if you have no peace, anytime if you just fall down, you are not sure where you are going, you need to be sure. Amen? You need to be born again. When you are born again, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. The second foundation that happens for you to grow in the anointing is you also need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit coming upon. Remember I talked about when you're born again, he comes inside. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you. And that's what Jesus told them. Acts 1 verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I assure you, you can never preach the gospel unless you have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You will be speaking to people and it will sound like theory. Have you ever had someone preaching and it sounds like a storybook? It sounds like a lecture, like a professor's lecture. And you're wondering, what are you saying? But you see, when you preach under the anointing, even if the language is hard, someone understands. Why? Because there is a spirit-to-spirit communication. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and you ask yourself, but why is this person speaking about me? It is because he is speaking by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So it is the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you receive the power and you become a witness. Now, becoming a witness goes beyond just speaking about Jesus. Your life can also be a witness for the gospel. Amen? When people see your life, can they testify you are a Christian? Or when they see your life, they doubt whether you are a Christian or not. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were in one place, and when they were sitting, and tongues divided of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Then the third foundation that you will know that you have the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. That is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or the manifestation of the anointing. And when the manifestation of the anointing comes, the Holy Spirit gives you divine empowerment to perform a special function in the body of Christ. That means that when God has given you a certain skill, It could be a skill in research. It could be a skill in reading. God will one day ask you, what did you use this gift that I gave you for the kingdom of God? What was the benefit that I gave you, even money? What was the benefit that I gave you this job? What did you do to serve humanity? What did you do to change people that people will come and know Jesus better? Amen? So, let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. The Bible says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another divining of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He will. So it is God that gives each and every one of us the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the anointing. And the Bible says to each one, every person has been given at least on a minimum one manifestation of the anointing. You must ask yourself, what is that gift that God has given you? And are you putting it to action? Is it growing? Or you are like that servant who eat the anointing and burn it in the ground and then return it to the master and say, oh, my master, I know you are a hard man. You give me one talent, I return it to you. And the master told him, you wicked and lazy servant. So he was told, you wicked and lazy servant. So the anointing comes in various manifestations. It can come in gifts. It can also come in offices, apostolic offices. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So you can see these are some. So apart from the gifts that are given, there is also the anointing that God can give to be in a certain office in the kingdom of God. We call it the fivefold ministry, others call it the fourfold ministry. So God can give you an anointing to be an apostle. And yet, if you never exercise yourself, if you don't grow into it, at the end of the day, you will be asked in heaven, I made you an apostle, but I see you are a teacher. I made you to be a prophet, but you used your gift to identify the next cryptocurrency. Instead of prophesying and preaching for people, you are focusing on, you know, predicting the market. Yes, the gift is the same, but you applied it in crypto instead of applying it to serve the body of Christ. So you see, all these manifestations are there for the benefit of the body of Christ. Now, what I'm trying to say, as I'm speaking of all these gifts, I believe you are introspecting and looking at yourself and asking yourself, what gift was I given among all this? And where am I using that anointing? Am I putting it to work? Or am I like that servant that hid it in the ground and I'm not using it? So there are also empowerments or anointings that come in the form of offices, but there are also anointings that come in other aspects, which we call like graces. The Holy Spirit giving you a special grace. Romans 12 verse 6 to 8 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. That means if God has called you to prophesy, to preach to people, prophesy according to the faith you have been given. If ministry, that means if serving others, let us use it in our ministry. If God has given you a gift to arrange things, you come, you are able to organize things, you are able to set, to minister, to put things in order, do it according to the measure of faith. He who teaches, in teaching, if God has given you a grace to teach, teach. Come and tell us, by the way, I can teach. I will give you a chance to teach. Amen? And even those who one by one will give you a chance to preach or to teach on giving, will see you growing in grace. The same way the first time that you spoke, and now we have seen a difference. Why? Because you are growing in grace. You are growing in the anointing. Amen? He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts, that means encourages people in exhortation, he who gives with liberality. That means that God can even give you a grace of giving. The people who God gives a grace for giving, you will realize they have understood that their money does not belong to them. It belongs to the kingdom of God. They are basically stewards and caretakers of the gifts of God. Anyone that has understood that, God will always be blessing them because they know that they are accountants of God and their job is to serve God. He who leads, even leadership, is an anointing. It's an anointing. God can give you the grace to lead people, to lead your family, to lead children. He who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now we are going to go through some of the aspects of how we grow in the anointing. The first thing I will say, we've already understood what the anointing is. We've already understood the anointing is a gift, is given by the Holy Spirit, is for specific function, but actually the first thing that you can grow in the anointing is by desire. If you don't desire the gift of the Holy Spirit or a certain anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will not be given to you. That means that the more you desire and you ask, if you see someone preaching and you say, God, one day I want to preach like this person, you know God will hear that. But if you say, I don't like this preacher, you will never be able to preach. Because there is no desire in you. You know, God, he works in a way that the Holy Spirit, he desires to be known, he desires to spend time with you. And the more you spend time with him, the more he also spends time with you. If you ignore him, he will just be waiting and wondering, why are you struggling? Yes, I am here. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. The Bible says, Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is saying, if you are evil people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how about him who is good? He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Maybe you've been wanting to know the voice of God. You can just tell God, God, please be speaking to me. Let me hear your voice. I want to be hearing your voice. And the more you ask him, then he says, okay, fine. Hear my voice. The question is, when you hear his voice, what will you do with it? The voice of God. Are you going to obey or you're going to say, no, God, this I have heard, but leave that one for now. Leave that one for now. Number two for us to grow in the anointing is obedience. Obedience. The Holy Spirit is given a function of guiding and teaching the believer and leading us into all truth. John 14 verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and he said, teach you all things. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in the name of Jesus, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things that I say to you. Jesus was telling his disciples, it is good for me to go. Because if I go, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper. That word there is parakletos in Greek. That means one that walks alongside with you. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be your companion. He is your companion that walks alongside with you. He is to help you. He is to encourage you. He is to guide you into all truth. And he brings to your memory everything that God has taught you. I tell you, many times we read the Word of God. We read the Bible. But there is a time that you need that Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit that reminds you what you have read. John 16 verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So the more we learn to obey the Holy Spirit, then we grow in the anointing. Remember, we are talking about growing in the anointing. First thing we say, desire. Eagerly desire the greatest gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 31, eagerly desire. Number two, we are saying obedience to the Holy Spirit. Number three is the anointing grows as we serve. If you don't use the gift that God has given, it will not grow. Anyone that wants to grow in the things of God, you must use it first. Because God will ask, I already gave you this, what have you done with it? Someone wants to be an evangelist, healing, to do crusades of 5,000 people, but he has not preached to one person the whole year. Even your neighbor, you have not shared the gospel. How will you preach to 5,000 people if you have not spoken to one person? So the anointing grows as we use it. Practice. You want to be praying for the sick and you heal them. When your child is sick, before you run to the hospital, pray for them. Start first by that practice. Put your hands on the child and say, baby, come. I know we are going to hospital, but first of all, we believe that God is the number one doctor. Let us pray. You see, our children learn from us. They observe what we do first before what we say. So if you tell people, if you tell your child, let us be praying before we eat, but they keep watching. Every time you have your food, you're just eating. So they don't learn from what you tell them. They learn from what they see, what you are doing. The anointing grows by when we serve others. You want to be a good preacher? You start by preaching in your home. Every day in the evening, you tell your children, come, let us sit together. We read one Bible verse and you explain it. Every day it will get better. The anointing grows by your service. If you serve others, then you will grow in the gift. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister each to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That means each one must use the gift that God has given you to minister to one another. Number four, how we grow in the anointing is actually by meditating on the Word of God. What is meditating on the Word of God? It is reading the Word of God, but also storing it in your heart, and you think about it. You can be working on your desk, but you are thinking about the scripture that you read in the morning. Maybe today you read in the morning, it was speaking about the Holy Spirit, and you ask yourself, God, if you actually did this, can you do it again? That is meditating on the Word of God. You are staying present to God. Present. present to God. Psalms 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. I tell you, anyone that learns to read the Bible, you wake up in the morning, read. Even if it is 5 verses, read it. I'll encourage you, read a chapter a day. Read in the morning, read in the evening. As you read the Word of God, what happens is that you start to interact with God Himself. Because God and His words cannot be separated. The Word of God is God Himself. As the Word of God speaks to you, God is also speaking to you. The more you know of the Word of God, the more you know the mind of God. And when you know the mind of God, then you also have the wisdom of God. And then you will also receive the power of God and the anointing of God. Anyone that has learned to stay by the Word of God, the Bible gives you a promise. You will bring forth your fruit in your season. That means it is you that will determine what fruit you want. It does not say you will bring the fruit in the season of the fruit. In his season, it is you that is meditating on the Word of God that will bear fruit. And the Bible says, your leaf shall not wither. You shall not die. You shall not become weary and withered and become sickly. No, you shall grow from strength to strength, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. I don't know who wants such a promise. That if you go into farming, it shall prosper. If you open a shop, it shall prosper. If you start teaching Sunday school, it shall prosper. If you are working in whatever job you shall do, God is saying, whatsoever you do shall prosper. That is the promise for the man who is staying by the Word of God. Psalms 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of the Word gives light, and it gives understanding the simple. That means anyone that starts to read the Word of God, there's something that God does. He makes you a wise person. You start becoming intelligent. I know, I have one of the pastors I know. He was a street child. He was never taught school anything. But the wisdom by which the man speaks, he said he learned to read English by reading the Bible. Just by reading the Bible, he just started to understand. And he became wise, and became wise, and became wise. That is the effect of the Word of God. Number 5, we grow in the anointing by abiding in the presence of God. What does it mean to abide in the presence of God? That means that you make the house of God, you make yourself at home in the presence of God. That means you develop a culture where you are constantly reminding yourself that God is there. By your worshiping, you can be seated on your desk, but your heart is singing a song to God. That is being in the presence of God. Deuteronomy 32 verse 13 says, he made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat out of the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. When you're riding on the high places, it's like when you're worshiping. I don't know who of us, you know, when you play some certain songs, there are certain worship songs. You can even be on TikTok or on Facebook, and someone starts to just show a video. And that song, all of a sudden, you feel like you want to pray. You feel like you want to worship. Why? Because the person has ushered you into the presence of God. Music can usher you into the presence of God. Reading the Word of God can usher you into the presence of God. Prayer can usher you into the presence of God. You come to a church service, and as people start to pray, you sense the presence of God. And you know the peace of God is with you, and the presence of God is with you. So, when you are in the presence of God, when you stay in the presence of God, Jesus says in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done unto you. Whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Number six, how do we grow in the anointing? The ministry of prayer and fasting. And we learn this from the life of Jesus. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he came out of the water, the Bible says he was full of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then when he came out of the wilderness, the Bible says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. That means that after he prayed and fasted, he moved from being filled with the Holy Spirit. He became coming full of power. That means that he grew. He took his time for prayer. He took his time for fasting. But apart from that, he faced the devil. That means that there are things that you do that even the devil becomes aware. He says, this one, what are they trying to do? What is it that they want to accomplish? Yeah? Because you are sending signals that me, I want to be different from my family. I am not going to be as poor as the level they were. I am going to grow greater than they were. Now, when you start to pray, then even the devil says, okay, I need to fight this one. Now, anytime you commit yourself to God, someone will say, when I started to pray and fast, things became worse. It is because it was a test to see, will you continue or will you run away? I tell you, when you expected Jesus, after finishing 40 days and fasting, the angel will be near him. The person that came to meet him was who? The devil. But when he overcame the test, what happened? He came full of power. He grew in the anointing from being filled with the Spirit until he now started to work miracles. Amen? Ministry of prayer and fasting. Number seven is the ministry of impartation or transference. What is impartation? Impartation is where the anointing that is on someone becomes transferred to you. Paul was saying, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift upon you. That means that he knew that God has given him the grace that as he lay hands on people, he is able to transfer the anointing that is in his life, the gift that is on his life, to the people. He tells Timothy, remember, I remember 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 to 6, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. He's saying that there is something that there was a faith that was in your grandmother Lois, and that faith was transferred to your mother Eunice. That means that that faith was not inherited through because of mother or father. Even through the mothers, the faith came. Why? Because there is what is called impartation. The question is, there is an inheritance. There are people who are operating on the blessings of their parents. Some of you or some of us are operating on the prayers of our parents. You are blessed because of the prayers of your parents. The sacrifices they made is what opened doors for you. And that is the truth. If you look at your grandparents, or you look at your parents, those who are second or third generation Christians, they are sacrifices your parents have made. That you are receiving blessings today because of them. But then you might be a first generation Christian. Now it is you who have to sacrifice for your children. But now, if you are enjoying the blessing of your parents and your children are not going to enjoy your blessings, what is that benefit? You enjoy favor that your mother and your father prayed for you, but you are not praying for your children. You are not sacrificing for them. You are not giving offerings for them. You are saying, God, let me help that child. Also, in future, if my child is in trouble, let someone help them. Those are seeds that you sow for them.
God is concerned that you are able to transfer the anointing that is on your life. It might be to your daughter or it might be to your son, but may that anointing not stop with you, but let it grow. Amen? Let it grow. Every father is happy if their child continues in their faith. Amen? If your child continues in the same faith you had, you are happy as a parent. Amen? So, first generation Christians, you have a responsibility to pay the price. Second generation, you are enjoying some blessings from your parents, but let it not stop with you. And also your part, that they also enjoy the same. Amen? Number 8, we also grow in the anointing by divine encounters. And this you will see that, you can remember John the Revelator. The Bible says, I was in the spirit and a door of heaven was opened. And he had the voice of a trumpet speaking to me. As you are growing with God, God through divine encounters can grow you. Number 9 and 10, and you can read this later on, you can grow by the grace of God. It is God that works in you. But most importantly, number 10, is we grow by the sovereign choice of God. What do I mean by that? It is God who chose Paul. Saul was a persecutor of God, but he says, go, this man is my chosen instrument, chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Each of and every one of us, there is something that God chose you to do. And you know it. Because the Holy Spirit will keep reminding you, I chose you for a purpose. And anytime, you know, you can do other things, but deep within you, when you sleep, you know, I'm actually not doing that. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you, I chose you for a purpose. But you're not fulfilling your purpose. I chose you, I gave you a gift as a worshiper, but you're not worshiping. I gave you a gift as a worshiper, but you just sit in the church, you don't serve. You just observe others. When God asks you at that time, then what did you do with the gift, with the anointing that God gave you? What are you going to answer? The Bible says, but my horn thou shalt exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Psalms 92 verse 10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I'm trying to tell you today that God is able to anoint us today with fresh oil. Forget about the oil, the anointing that was there in the past. Forget about the oil that was there in our body. There is a fresh oil that is available today that if we ask him, he is able to give us. Let us stand and just take a moment and pray to our Father. The Bible says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. If you believe that, speak to your Father and ask him.